and I'm starting to test transmitters in the last few years. Of course, you can use the two-tone test. You see pictures in QST, and that works fine. But it shows more information. It gives you a better idea of what, how much bandwidth we're taking up if we feed in that something more like speech. So I'm feeding in white noise. I started out just using a band noise on 10 meters, and now I have a noise generator. So call it a 1,000-tone test instead of a two-tone test that I think more approximates what happens. So this is the first picture. This is this shot here is provided by Pete, W6XX. If you remember, I always say, if you can't hear Pete, the band's dead. Big signal. So he was showing here the difference between his Class B rig, which most every rig is Class B, except for a few Yaesu. So he has a Mark V, Yaesu Mark V, that's in Class A, and he has a K3. We're not trying to pick on the K3, but that's what he has. And they're both putting out 75 watts. The Class A only puts out 75 watts, and you can back the K3 off to 75 watts, and that's about what it takes to drive his 88.7 linear, maybe 50 watts. But you can see here that from the edge of the signal, and this is just white noise being fed in, the Class B rig, you have to get 6 kilohertz away to be 60 dB down. Now, what would be typically 60 dB down? The signal causing QRM's 30 over 9, you're trying to copy in Gaia S3. Certainly, Planet DX is S3. So 6 kc's away versus the Class A rig, 1.5 kilohertz. So if we all had signals that clean, we'd have a lot less QRM. We could squeeze together more closely.
You know, Rob, he's the only one you don't even have to listen. You just tune 20 meters, you pick a signal right up because it's clean.
Yeah, and he is very clean. He's running that rig and the 8877. He knows how to tune it.
Yeah, he's one of the true vertical signals.
So these are the rigs I've looked at since Dayton in 2010. I didn't have the 9100, but the 9100 is basically, they added VHF to it, the 7410. So that's what shipped. And so one thing as a problem is most of the rigs today, at least these newer ones, have ALC overshoot problems. We have my older rig. I have a 706 Mark IIG in the car. If I hit the ALC more than like two or three little flickers on the LCD display, I start to splatter. I found that out the hard way. I was 4 kc's above the county net on 20 meters. Mobile, driving from Denver to Boulder. A guy came up and said, "You're interfering with the net." And I said, "What? I'm running 100 watts. I got an 8-foot antenna, and I'm 4 kc's away from the county hunter's net." And he said, "You're splattering on it." So I checked it out later in the lab, and yeah. So ALC's problems have nothing new, but they haven't gotten any better. The 5000D is extremely clean if you run no ALC and no processing, but unfortunately it degrades in a hurry, as we'll see a little bit later. The 590, when it first came out, had about a 20% overshoot. They improved it with the two versions of firmware. It's still there. They say they're working on it. It's a hardware problem now because they've done all they can do in software. The 7410 that I had a 3 dB overshoot, and it's probably not going to blow up an amplifier, but that means you're going to overdrive it and splatter there as you start to talk and the ALC has to catch up. Now there's an interesting video on the web. If you run the 590 at 25 watts, it still overshoots to 100 watts. So all you have to do is just type in Google, IC7410 ALC overshoot, and you'll get that video. It's kind of fun to watch. And I'm sure ICOM loves it.
They've got a link on their website.
Yeah, right.
This is especially bad for solid state amplifiers because you can punch through really easily.
Yeah. Now, like the Tokyo High Power that is at my QTH because a guy's using it as a remote site, it's got a pad in the front just for that reason. Now, how much drive does your typical amp, if you don't have a pad added to it, take to drive?
I can drive mine to a kilowatt with 12 watts.
Okay.
And so I put a pad in front of mine too.
Yeah. So you can imagine if it only took 25 watts to drive it and you're going to get a 100 watt spike, well, that's a problem.
What's this overshoot you're talking about?
Well, the ALC is supposed to keep kind of the gain under control because, you know, we all talk a little louder, talk a little softer. Collins, of course, had it in the S line and probably even before that. And so it's a gain adjustment, but it's supposed to be slow and attack fairly quickly and not... Right, right, exactly.
On CW, it'll go 100 watts and then come down to 25 watts if you cut it to the 25 watts.
What was the, was it 4 and 5? What was the 4 of these rigs?
All those, yeah. I didn't ever test the 7410, but Adam said it was the same as, I mean, the 9100, but the same, identical to 7410. Yeah. So I only tested the 4. Sometimes it's worse on sideband than CW. So like what Tom just said, you can do a DIT and it has a big overshoot, but in the case, I think, of the 590, it's worse on sideband than it is on CW, which is kind of weird. So it's maybe something to do with DSP. I don't know.
I fixed that in my problem by injecting a negative voltage into the back of the radio, setting the power level, and then it eliminated the overshoot in the radio.
In which radio?
I've done it in the ASU FT-102 and FT-1000.
Okay.
And that fixed the problem. The 1000 has a lot of overshoot.
Yeah, right. So here we're going.
What you're doing is putting ALC in there all the time.
So
I set the power level with the external box, mm-hmm. and when it's there, then no matter what you do with the radio, it's not going to exceed that. It's a silly fix that you have to do. You shouldn't have to do that in a $5,000 radio.
Yeah, really. And the key clicks in the 1000 series have been notorious, and, you know, WAJI's been complaining about that for 20 however many years. And he fixes it for like $2. So I don't know what the trouble is. So we sort of talked about this with the spike. So here was something interesting. I found that with my new white noise generator to general radio, if I fed in white noise limited to 5 kilohertz, and certainly our voice has that kind of a bandwidth and it's going right in the input, that it would spike. You know, I set it key down, CW, 50 watts. Many linears take 50 watts. But then every once in a while I get this spike, and this is with the white noise. So I told Adam about this, VA7OJ, and he's a really big ICOM guy, and he writes very nice reviews. I mean, he writes very extensive reviews. So he captured this thing that I mentioned I saw. And if you can see there, it's kind of, you know, right of center. See that one spike? And then all this other stuff is just the normal white noise at about 50 watts, and then boom, every 2 or 3 seconds we get a spike at 100 watts. Now maybe some of you, can you see it there?
What radio is that?
This is the 7410.
Right,
yeah, it's right here. There just above 6 divisions was 100 watts, so it just goes slightly over 100 watts there, and down here just slightly more, you know, beyond the line there. I don't know why every 2 or 3 seconds. I mean, so maybe somebody that knows math and a Gaussian noise source, but that's just what it does. You can just sit there and watch it all day, just spike occasionally. Where the guys on the video on YouTube there, they were just talking into it, and they had a digital watt meter out of Array Solutions. What's the model?
No, I can't remember.
Whatever it, and it's like, you know, they set it for 25 watts. They show you 25 watts, and they start talking. It's going 30 watts, 50 watts, and boom, 97 watts, and stuff like that.
It just occurred to me, Rob. What it could be is his scope's ability to capture it too. It might actually be occurring more, but the scope's ability to...
Well, I was just running it free running when on my scope. I didn't try to capture it.
Okay, so you saw that, but even your scope, possibly its ability to capture a transient.
Well, I don't know. It was a
digital scope?
Digital storage, but it was running in analog mode. Okay. It was just free running. I don't know.
Is it an analog, you know, like a diode? Or
yeah, probably. I think it's a diode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's got band limits, either 2KC, 5KC, or 50 kilohertz, and I set it on 5. And then it also has a clipper so that I set it on so that it couldn't possibly go to the absolute maximum that statistically could happen. So that was adjustable. It didn't seem to make any difference. But, you know, it's a commercial unit, and it's actually worked better than my band noise test because it was flatter.
The modern amplifiers have real sensitive safety circuits in them, too. So little spikes like that will trip some of the newer amplifiers, and you're always resetting.
Well, that mobile, popular mobile rig, the Cube, what's SGC, that thing trips out left and right. So I don't know what kind of a spike like this. You could certainly run a 590 or a 7410 in the car. So here's what it looks like. In this case, it was band noise, and you'll see on the 7410, it looks a little more square, but this is kind of disappointing. From probably the presentation I gave several years ago, I had Collins look at that. Collins was the cleanest. A 32S3 built in what, 68 or something, with 6146s, negative feedback, the cleanest transmitter I've ever owned. This isn't all this exciting here. And so here was the noise, and we see again, how far do we have to go off the edge of the signal to be 60 dB down, like S9 plus 30 down to S3? 7 kilohertz. That's certainly not impressive, and that was the Eagle. This was sort of typical. The 590, most of them are kind of this way. You have to go 5 kilohertz away to get 60 dB down. Now, this wouldn't be there all the time. You're talking. You say CQ. You get the sibilant sounds. This high frequency is going to splatter out more than if you just said hello. So it doesn't mean you can't work anybody less than 5 kc's away, but it's going to be there to bother you. You know, it's going to have the buckshot type of sound. Now, here was something that I was sort of stunned at. I was able to borrow a 7600. The guy sent it to me because he said, we get on the air in this group every day or every week. We got two 7600s, a bunch of other rigs, and they all are telling the two owners of the 7600, you got lousy sideband suppression. We should think, well, that doesn't make any sense. Everything's DSP. It must have 60 dB suppression. So I said, okay, send it out. I haven't got to see one of those radios, so send it out, and I'll measure it. Well, it wasn't lack of sideband suppression. It was just the distortion products that end up on the opposite sideband, and then, of course, above the desired sideband. So I said, okay, let's compare it. I happen to own a Pro 3, and compare it to the 7600. Well, I needed to offset the two signals so you could see it in the graph better. So the two signals in the pass band were 8 dB apart, but there at 6 kc out, there were 18 dB apart. So the difference was 10. So the 7600 was 10 dB worse than the Pro 3. Mm-hmm. Now, what in the world?
There's improvement for
you. Yeah, that's really good. What happens next?
Yeah.
You hardly wait for that one.
There's no limits on that. You can, FCC could care less.
Well, I mean, there's some minimum, but they also now, of course, measure against PEP instead of really the way you'd see it on a spectrum analyzer. So now here's the 7410, and with my new noise generator, well, of course, it's 20 years old, but this GR1381, and it's very flat topped, you know, couldn't complain about it, you know, square sided, and then there's the distortion products. There's 30 your typical, 5 kc's away, 60 dB down. And so I'll be, of course, using this method from now on. And it sort of comes across more graphically than the little things you see printed in QST. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the funny thing is, it's very typical that the third order product is depressed comparison to the fifth. So sometimes the fifth and seventh and ninth are kind of classic. The third order, you would expect it to always be worse, but it isn't. So if you just sort of quote, well, third order product needs to be X. Well, the third order product, you can check it on all the different bands and it'll vary. And like in one case, I think on the 7600, it was kind of classic on 10 meters, but on 20, it was depressed. So it looked better, but if you're feeding all this white noise in, there's no, and we're not really thinking about second order, you know, third order, fifth order, we're just looking at the whole spectrum, and this is kind of more of an acid test.
Well, that starts spreading out at about, what, 22 dB?
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not going to want to be right next to him, that's for sure. And because the DSP filter is so sharp, I mean, so, you know, straight up, virtually brick wall filter, and so flat topped, it makes it really jump out at you that it degrades in a hurry at like 22 dB.
Well, running an SDR, you see this a lot, don't you think, Bill?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You see a lot of Christmas trees.
All right. Now, here is my example of the FTDX 5000 in Class A. And it just isn't, it's got a pretty good class B too. I mean, it's still class B, but when we're running in class A and we don't have any ALC and we don't have any processing, it's only 2 kc's away. It's 60 dB down. If I hit half scale on the ALC meter, and that's only 3 dB, look how much it goes to heck. From the bottom trace to the next one, so it's clear out 8 kc's to get 60 dB down. That's the worst one I've measured yet.
Both are class A.
Both are class A, but the ALC is going crazy. And the reason I knew something was wrong was you get used to, I run a scope all the time. I pick off the signal from the output of the amplifier. It goes to, now I've got Tom's pickoff device before I used a bird thing. And, you know, I set it for key down, 1500 watts, set it for 6 divisions on the scope. And then I go to sideband. Of course, you have to back it off because the peaks are higher in voice than it is key down. So you kind of get used to what it looks like. Well, on the 5000, it's like every peak was cut off with a ruler and a razor blade. I mean, there wasn't one peak a tenth of a dB higher than how I set it. Well, you know that can't be right. So is the ALC like syllabic rate? I must be. I mean, the ALC is like running the radio. So there's how much it degrades.
The top isn't very flat either. Is that equalization?
That was... I bet if I had the GR, it would have been flat, although it could have been roll-off. I think the 590 has some roll-off, and it makes it seem a little quieter. So I don't really know for sure. I mean, if we look at the previous one, well, not that one, but that one just sort of had a little notch in it, and I don't know why. But so my guess is there was some roll-off in there, but I'll never know for sure. But from now on, I won't have a less than perfect white noise source.
Rob?
Yeah.
You see that tremendous degradation with the ALC. Is there an earlier stage that might be getting noisy that's making that work?
I think the ALC.
Class A.
Well, it certainly isn't the PA. Right. Well, I think the ALC is acting like a clipper. I mean, the fact that literally you're talking in, and it goes to 6.00 divisions.
So the clipping effect may be making noise.
Right. I think so. I mean, it looks, on voice, it looks terrible, if you know what it should look like, and on, obviously, a white noise, it looks terrible.
Well, once you have ALC, you're no longer class A.
You've got
a feedback situation that makes it nonlinear.
Well, my guess is if it was classic, a nice, fast attack and, like, 3-second delay, it would really be doing not much but kind of running the volumes,
right.
just kind of keeping things under control.
And while Pete's running ALC and everything on his rig that you saw the plot, although he had to modify the circuit or something.
Yeah, he improved the time constant.
That's
yeah.
like turning, if it's slow, it's like you said, it's like turning a knob. But if you have immediate feedback coming back, I mean, it's...
But...
maybe it's too fast to control overshoot. Does this radio have overshoot?
No.
Maybe that's what it is.
You mean maybe it's millisecond, microseconds,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with it? Well, Collins, a long time ago, figured out what you're supposed to do, slow decay. It's just supposed to be a leveling circuit. It's not a processor. Of course, we didn't have processors in the S-line days. Later, they came out as aftermarket. So is it a software problem, a hardware problem? I don't know. My first guess is maybe hardware, but who knows? But it could be fixed. It's kind of astounding. And I talked to the top guys at Dayton and about the problem, but I've not heard anything, and it's been, you know, 6 months. So, but it's it sure needs to be fixed.
How's the K3?
The K3 is one of the, I've not done white noise with the K3, but Pete did. So we saw what the K3 was. I don't think it's got an ALC problem.
The K3 doesn't have the overshoot problem, if that's true.
But it's a class B, fairly poor class B.
Yeah, it's fairly poor, but it, you know, it probably isn't fair to say this, but there's things you can do to make it better by backing off the power and so forth. But the K3 really almost has an undershoot problem, if anything. It takes it a while to get up to power.
And if you crank it up to maybe 14.5 volts, it's a little better than 13.8.
Yeah, as far as the IMD products, running at the higher voltage and lower power and everything, makes it a lot better. I drive the amp at a lower power, and I think Pete and Tom have seen my signal, you know, when I'm doing that, and it's pretty, you know, it's a lot better than it would be otherwise.
It looks better than 75% of the signals on the band.
Yeah. And that's driving what?
A Drake L4.
Yeah, so 3500Z, a decent tube, not as good as an 8877, but a decent tube. Now, so I was on the air with the 5000 that was on load, and I was on 20 meters. I was just normal QSO, and a guy breaks in. I want to comment on your signal. I'm thinking, oh, boy. And he said, I just bought a P3, which, of course, is the scope that goes with the K3, and he says, you have the cleanest signal I've ever seen on the air. But
how
I was.
How long have you been on the air?
Yeah.
Well. First contact you ever got.
All right. Now he said he's seen a lot of bad ones, just like you guys have with your Flex. Now, no, I was running absolutely no ALC, and I was running absolutely no processing, and an Alpha 89, 3CX800s, probably a cleaner tube than my Alpha 99, which is the 4CX tetrode, grid driven. So, a pretty decent amplifier, not as good as probably an Alpha 9500 or Pete's Alpha, Pete's 8877. But, you know, he was impressed with the signal. So it's a shame that you want a little talk power now. It's contest time, and then that wonderful signal fizzles out. So, you know, what would it be like if we all had signals that clean? But like I said right at the beginning, there are people that run the mic way up and run the processing way up, and maybe they flat top their linear. So that's talked about at Contest University, which is on Thursday before Dayton. It's kind of a nice thing to go to if you can get there a day early, and it's $100 or something. And they give you meals, so that's a good deal. And they talk about contest ethics because, you know, okay, there's guys that win contests and they cheat. And they may cheat with a log, they may run maybe 1,501 watts. Or, yeah, that's right. So one would hope that you'd want to be on the air with a clean signal, and then if placed first in Colorado, great, and I did it the right way. So let's get back to CW signals, and we see that, you know, the transmitted splatter distortion products, whatever you want to call it, limit how close we can sneak up to somebody who's sitting there running, calling CQ contest for the last 5 hours. What's it like on CW? So I said, okay, let's do this with two radios, besides, of course, I had to do with my test equipment. But so I had two radios. I had a K3 on receive, and I had an Omni 7 as the transmitter, and I had it sitting there going dots, 30 words a minute. And I had, of course, attenuators in there because I wanted to set the signal key down at S9 plus 40, and then I tuned 700 hertz away, 700. And I wanted to see what the keying sidebands, because it's the keying sidebands that make a signal, CW signal wide. I mean, if you just have a dead carrier, it's got hardly any bandwidth at all. But you got to send your call and a report, so that's where the sidebands come from. So the Omni 7 is real easy to adjust, as a lot of newer rigs are, what the rise time is, how quickly it ramps up, and how quickly it comes down. So if you set it at 3 milliseconds, and I tuned 700 hertz away, the keying sidebands are S7. If I set it at 6 milliseconds, it went down to S5. And if I set it at 10 milliseconds, which is probably a little soft, it went down to S3. And this K3 had a really linear S meter. I checked that ahead of time. Some are better than others. And this was great. So I got 22 dB difference by going from 3 milliseconds to 10. So then I said, okay, let's measure it in the lab. So here's what this keying signal looks like at 10 milliseconds. Now the first three quarters of that is just the pass band of the spectrum analyzer, but where it sort of widens out, that's the keying sidebands, and where the red arrow is, that's at 70 dB down. It has a bandwidth of about 900 hertz. That's at 10 millisecond rise time. There's 3 milliseconds. Well, it spreads out a lot more, about 1,500 hertz wide, but let's superimpose them. Well, look at the difference. I mean, not only does it go out, but it's like it's going to go on forever. Not quite, but, and what was the difference at 700 hertz offset? About 20 dB, just like I measured with the receiver. So I'm not saying you should run it at 10, but I certainly don't want 3, and probably the FTDX 1000 series without a mod like a W8JI mod or whatever Dennis maybe did to his, it might have a 1 millisecond write time. It's notorious for key clicks, and like K0RF's got some of these, and boy, does he have key clicks.
I'm not saying, well, huh? I won't say anything.
Okay. No guts, sir. Now, you don't have a spectrum analyzer. Okay, here's what it looks like on a normal scope. This is in the time domain. There on the left, 3 milliseconds, it ramps up in a hurry. There on the right, 10 milliseconds is, in this case, you know, 45 degree angle. So that's why it's so much cleaner, because it's slowly ramping up. Now, slowly meaning milliseconds, but that's what the difference is. Of course, if you're going to be running to 50 words a minute, you certainly can't be running a 10 millisecond rise time and it's fall time. So you have to take that into account. So just the facts. What do you need for your radio? Well,